Praise the Lord. Good morning. Hallelujah. God bless you. Transforming Word Church, and those of you who are joining us today, we want to thank God for you. Want to reiterate that we don't take you for granted. We know that the Lord Jesus went to Calvary to save your soul, and we need to be faithful to watch over that. And we need to be faithful to how we present the Word to you, how we spend time with you around God's Word, whether we're in God's Word or prayer or both. We did have music before so we could have some songs, because we know everybody liked to have a song or two. And then Facebook took us down because we didn't have rights to the music, and that got all complicated, so we just don't have any music. But we believe that God has anointed this time that we have together, music or not, for us to hear Him and the things that He wants to speak to us in this day, in this hour. We live in this big chaotic world, but we have a God who is keeping us. We have a God who is taking care of us even more than we know. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about how you could be sitting in a valley not paying God any attention, and He's watching over you while you're going about your business. I want you to repeat after me. You cannot curse.
You cannot curse
what God has blessed.
What God has blessed.
You cannot curse.
You cannot curse
what God.
What God
has blessed.
Has blessed.
Let us pray. Father God, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Mm. Hallelujah. Mm. For your blessed presence with us right now. My God, I feel you, Lord. I'm so grateful, Lord God, that you are with us. And in these next few minutes, God, I'm asking you to fill my mouth with the words that you want spoken to your people, Lord God, that we might hear a word from heaven that is for us now, a word that will minister life, Lord God. That's why I need you to speak, because I don't have words of life. My words have to come from you if they're going to benefit anybody. So fill my mouth, Lord God. I'm asking you now, and I'm asking you, Father, to give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive. Oh God, stir us to the place where we will believe you today. In Jesus' name, I thank you for your living word. I thank you for the Holy Ghost, who is the Spirit of truth. He's our teacher right now. He's our guide right now. And we depend on him. All of us. I depend on him to give me the words to speak. And all of us depend on you, Lord God, Spirit of the living God, to give us the ability to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to be traveling through this week, Numbers 22, 23, and 24. There's an account of Balak, and I hope I'm saying this right, the king of Moab, who hires the prophet of God to curse the people of God. Now we know in Genesis chapter 12 that God said to Abram, when he was calling him forth to be the father of many nations and to eventually through him bring forth Jesus Christ, our Savior, he said to him, all of the families in the earth will be blessed in you, and everyone who blesses you will be blessed, and anyone who curses you will be cursed. And so we travel to Numbers 22, and we have Balak afraid of the children of Israel who have settled in the land near Moab or in that region. And because of God's working with and bringing Israel to that point, they're afraid of Israel because they know the story of how God brought Israel out of Egypt. They know how God took the children of Israel, brought them out of Egypt by a mighty hand, drowned a whole army in the Red Sea, and none was left that chased after them. And since they've been trekking through the land, nobody has been able to do anything with this people. They've been too powerful because God has been backing them. So Balak, who is afraid of Israel, gets the idea, I'll hire a prophet. prophet of God, and I'll have him speak a curse over them. He had heard of this prophet Balaam, and that one thing that he had heard about Balaam is that if Balaam curses you, you're cursed. If Balaam blesses you, you're blessed. So he thought, I'll just pay this man to curse these people enough for me to be able to overcome them and beat them up. So he sends messengers to Balaam, and he tells them, tell him, I'm going to pay him to do this. So they go with their gifts to Balaam, and they say to Balaam, we need you to curse these children of Israel so that we can beat them up when so they can't do anything with us, that they won't do us like they've done everybody else. And so Balaam says, well, now there's really nothing I can do to these people because what God has blessed cannot be cursed. And these are the people of God, so I can't speak a curse over them. So they go back and they tell Balak what he said. And so now he sends them back again. And he sends not these messengers, but he sends messengers that have more honor. He sends princes, people who've got more power, people who are greater than that group that he sent, people who have more influence than the first group that came. And he sends them with better gifts. And so when they come this time, you know, he's telling them, you know, Balak is not accepting this word that you've given him. He wants these people cursed because we want to beat them up. Balaam said, listen, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and I'm going to talk to the Lord about this and see what the Lord says. And I'll come back and I'll let you know. God says to him, he said, now who are these people that you got? These people have come and they're with you. Who are these people? This is where I always like to point something out. If God is asking a question, it's not because he doesn't know, but it's because he's about to teach you something about the question that he asked you. Okay? God knows who these people are. And so he says, who are these people? So he explains to God who these people are and what they want him to do. So he says, here's what I want you to do. The first time, he told him he couldn't go with them. I left that part out because the people wanted him to go with them and he wouldn't go with them. And God told him not to go with them. And so now this second group has come. And so he says, this time you're going to go with them, but you're not going to say anything that I didn't tell you to say, and you're not going to do anything that I don't tell you to do. This is the second time he's told him that. You only do what I say, you only say what I say. So Balaam gets up, he goes with these people. Well, while he's making his way, the ass that he's riding sees an angel in the way with a sword because God is angry at Balaam for going with these people. Now, he told him to go. Why is God angry? Because of the condition of Balaam's heart. That's another message. But he gets up and he goes with these people, and his ass stops when he sees an angel in the road. And he can't understand why his ass is stopping. The ass turns and he goes another way. And so he beats him to get him back on the path. And when he gets him back on the path, the ass is still seeing this angel standing there. And so he runs into a wall. And this time he crushes Balaam's foot. And Balaam is upset with this ass. And he's beating him again. And the ass is ooh. And so the ass takes off again. And there's the angel still in the way. And this time, I lost my place. Okay, he turned aside, he crashed into a wall, he crushed his foot. And this time he falls down. I lost my place. So when he falls down, Balaam is just so mad and he's beating him. And the ass says, why are you beating me? Why are you doing this to me? Haven't I been good to you? Now, y'all got to know, donkeys don't talk, asses don't talk. So we got something going on here that God is in the middle of. He's talking to Balaam. Balaam said, well, yeah, you have been good to me. You have taken me all the places I wanted to go. But I need you to go ahead. I need you to do this thing. So he realizes at that point that there's an angel in the way, blocking the way, because his eyes are open to see this. Now I want you to listen to me. This is a prophet of God. At this point, he's not seen anything like what the ass has seen. The ass has seen the angel, but the prophet didn't see him until now, this third time. He sees him. And so he realizes that God is blocking his way. And then God says, okay, go on. But when you go, don't do anything or say anything that I don't tell you to say. So he goes, and he goes to Balaam, and he tells Balaam, okay, here I am, but I can't say anything that God doesn't tell me to say. I can't do anything that God doesn't tell me to do. Balaam said, listen, I've got to get rid of these people. These people are trouble for me. There's nothing we can do for these people, and I need you to speak a curse over these people. So Balaam tells him, set up altars, set up seven altars, and get the sacrifices ready for the altars so that he can make burnt sacrifices and offer up sacrifices to God. He takes him up to a high place to do this. Now, I want to stop here, and I want you to see something. I want you to see that the people of God don't even know that this is happening. They're sitting in the valley. They're just going about their daily living. And up on the top of a mountain is a man trying to have them cursed so that he can take them out. You can't curse what God has blessed. Even if the people are unaware of the curse that's coming at them. You see, you don't need to watch out for your back. You don't need to watch out for yourself. God has a lookout for you, and he's greater than the one that's trying to take you out. He's greater than the attack that's coming on your life. And so these people are just sitting there, and they're like sitting ducks because they don't know that somebody's after them. They don't know that their lives are in danger, so to speak. They have no idea that there's been a plan laid and a scheme being laid to take their lives and to cut them off. But they can't be cut off because God has a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in that covenant, God said, you cannot be cursed. Only what I say concerning you is going to take place. If I don't curse you, you are not cursed. And so these people are sitting there. They don't even know that God is keeping them. They don't even know they're protected. Like Regina said a few minutes ago, you don't know what's waiting for you in your day. And you can go about your day, and God is the one who is watching over that day for you. Why wouldn't we give him the first part of that day? So back to what's happening up here on this mountain. They offer up the sacrifices. Balaam go and he talks to God. And God says, I don't see anything going on with Israel. I don't see anything bad going on with them. The only thing I see is that they're blessed. And God begins to speak blessings over them rather than curses. When Balaam gets back to Balak, he is upset to no end. I did not send you to bless them. I sent you to curse them so that I can have victory over them. See, what he doesn't understand is that they have a shout of a king in the midst of them. And when you hear that phrase, shout of a king in the midst of Israel, he is literally saying that they have victory no matter what the challenge, no matter how they're being challenged, they have the victory because God himself is watching over them. God himself is shielding them. God himself is surrounding and protecting them. They have the shout of a king in the midst of them. I want to stop right now and say, we have the shout of a king in the midst of us. In this day, in this hour, we have the Lord God who is watching over See, I didn't want to get ahead in my story, but I'm excited right now because God is our protection. God is our keeper. God is the one who is watching over us and seeing that we go from one day to the next, one place to the next, one moment to the next. God is with us and guiding and keeping us no matter what the challenge, whether we can see it or not. There are some things that you don't know that have been lying in wait to take you out, but God himself is your protection. God himself, without you even having to ask, is your protection. There are just some things that God is doing because he is God, because he is keeping covenant. Right now, I'm not even talking about inside your prayer life. I'm talking about a covenant that God has made to keep his people. Jesus said, I'm building my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There are just some things that God is doing because you belong to him today. You better hear me. You better hear the Holy Ghost. There are just some things that God is doing because you belong to him. It's just because. Just because. Let me get back to my story. I got ahead of myself. And so he blesses him. He gets upset. So he takes him to another place. He said, come over here. Maybe it'll work over here. So he takes him to another place where all he can see is like the back part of them. And they build their altars and they make their sacrifices. And Balaam goes and he talks to God. And when he talks to God, God gives him more insight into how he's keeping Jacob and how he's watching over him, how he's keeping covenant with him, and how he sees no blemishes in Jacob. I'm going, really, God? He said, I don't see any trouble with him. I see him the way I've created him to be. I see him according to how I've called him to be. And he starts to speak blessings over Jacob, or I should say over Israel, because Jacob is Israel. But he starts to speak blessings over Israel. And as he speaks blessings, Balak is mad. What are you doing? I'm paying you to do this. I'm paying you. He said, didn't I tell your servants to tell you, listen, you could give me your very own house and you could give me everything that you've got and I still won't be able to curse these people. He said, let's try it again. So they go one more time. They set up more altars and they offer more sacrifices. And they try to curse these people again. Now this time, the prophet's eyes are open. The first two times, he doesn't see clearly what God is doing. He doesn't see beyond the moment. He doesn't see beyond what is happening there. But this third time he goes, he sees the future. He not only sees Israel where they are, but he sees the future. He sees Jesus Christ coming through this people. He sees that God is going to use this people to bring forth the one who will be the salvation of the nations. My God, his eyes are open. He said, oh my goodness, I couldn't see before. Now I can see. Now I can see why these people can't be cursed. These people are blessed to the end of time. These people are blessed throughout the ages. There's nothing that can be done with them. Nothing whatsoever. Oh my God, I see that. He saw the Lion of Judah. He saw the Savior coming through this people. God took him from that moment and that point, that vantage point. These people are down there so unaware of what's happening, so unaware of what's going on. They're not even aware themselves of how precious and how powerful a mission they have on this earth. They've heard things about the Savior. They've heard about the Messiah, but they don't even know what lengths God went through to bring Jesus through them. They don't even know in that moment what their calling really is and how powerful that call is. They don't even know. Listen, you don't have to know everything God's doing. What we need to know is that God has made covenant with us in Jesus Christ, and we are his, and we are kept by the power of his goodness, by the power of his grace, who he is. You see, it's God's character and God's integrity at work in our lives every day. Not you. It's not your good deeds. It's not your prayer time. It's not your fasting. All of those things are a result of your salvation, but they don't make you saved. They don't keep you saved. They're a result of it. This heart of yours that believes God is what keeps you walking with God. The Holy Ghost empowering you every day and strengthening you every day to believe and to trust God. It's not your deeds. It's not how often you went to church. It's not what you do. And I believe that's why God said, sit down today and pay attention. I want to talk to you about how I'm keeping you. I want to talk to you about how I have kept you through dangers unseen. I've kept you through times where you wouldn't have even known that something was coming your way. I've been your God and I will be your God because I have promised in Jesus Christ that I would keep you. Swore to Abraham, I swear by myself that I'm going to bless and I'm going to multiply you. God showed this man of God who was a man of God, who is being controlled by somebody else at the time, that God, and God even went beyond that. Man, I saw so much in this, but I don't have all this time to preach it. I saw so much in that. God even went beyond his blindness for the moment, went beyond his greed for the moment. Because if we look at the New Testament, we see Balaam was up there because he liked the offering that they were going to give him. He liked the money that they were going to give him. And he tried to go past what God said. He said, there is no way I can overrun or outdo anything that God says. I can't overrun the word of God concerning these people. I can't overturn God's plan for their lives. Nothing about you can be stopped or cut off by any demonic force. My God, no scheme of the devil, no tricks of the devil, nothing can cut you off from what God has for you. Not your bad attitude, not your lack of interest in the things of God for your life, not your just kind of being slothful and just kind of going about, not even you being wandering away in your mind and in your heart. God has a plan for you, and I'm telling you right now, he's keeping you and he's going to execute it in Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, these people in the valley, they don't even know what God's doing. You sitting in that somewhere wherever you are right now, and you don't even know what God's doing. God is just keeping you beyond anything that you could even ask or think. God has got you in ways that you don't even know he's got you. God kept you from dying last night. God kept you alive right now. God is keeping you alive, and not only keeping you alive, but it's for his purposes. It's because God's not done with you yet. My God, he's not done with us yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember reading something one time where somebody said in 1976 that the church was dying and the church was just passing off of the earth. And in 30 years, there would be no church. I wonder where he is today. Because Jesus said, if somebody just stopped him and told him, Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. One man said in 16 years, he didn't have one person, young person, join his church, but that didn't make the church die. You know why? Because God said the church would not die. Jesus said he's building his church, and I can find nothing in the scriptures that says that he stopped at any point because attendance fell off or because people backslid or because people didn't walk with him. That's not happening. And so God is saying, walk in your salvation. Walk in the place that I've called you because I am keeping you. Balaam saw not only his day, but he saw beyond that day. He saw to our day. How do I know? Because he saw Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He saw Jesus Christ, the Savior. He saw our Redeemer. He saw us come out of that people that day that were in that valley that he tried to curse. And he said, I can't do this. And he went on to begin to speak the future of that people. And we're a part of that. You and I are a part of that future that he prophesied over those people that day. Here's what God is saying to us today. Whatever God has spoken concerning you, it can't be cursed. The devil can't curse it. Nobody can speak something else over you. Because God has already called you who you are. And he has called you by your name. He has called you according to his will, his desire, and his design for your life. You know, often in your life, people have told you, You're no good. You're never going to amount to anything. How many people have? And they said it based on your actions. Oh, you did the stuff they said you want to do, that they said you did. You did it all. You did it all. You did all the ugly mess. Some of it you're still doing today. And people have said you're never going to change. How many times have you said somebody's never going to change because you've dealt with them over and over again? Listen, I have been so disappointed sometimes in my life over people that didn't seem to want to change, and they heard the truth, they knew the truth, and it seemed like they were never going to change. And in my mind, I made up my mind, listen, you're going to always be this way. You're never going to change. But who am I? Who am I to judge another man's servant? Who are you to judge another man's servant? You can't judge another man's servant. I can't even judge myself because I'm God's servant. You know, nobody gets to say that you're not going to succeed in life. Nobody gets to say that you're not going to be transformed by the power of God's word. Nobody gets to say that except God himself. And if God doesn't say it, you can't curse me. I can't curse you. Nobody can curse anybody. You can't change my destiny based on my past. You can't call my future based on where I've been. I can't call your future based on where you've been. I can't determine that because right now you may be a bit nonchalant or you may not even be trying to live holy. I can't decide that you won't end up holy. Huh. They didn't look like they were going to be okay in that valley that day. They didn't even realize. They didn't even realize that they were sitting ducks. But God, who knew and knows all of our end at the beginning, said, I don't see a blemish in them. I don't see a spot in them. I see them as people who are my people and they're okay. Man, when you look at Israel, you know that they were a mess, but God was looking at the end result. When Jesus comes back for the church, he's coming for a church without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. We're all divided. We're all scattered. Some of us just barely making it. Helmet of salvation ain't found it in a long time. Can't find your shield of faith. Your shoes for the preparation of the gospel of peace. They under the bed somewhere in the closet, or you left them in the mud somewhere. I don't know, but here's the deal. Because God has called the end of the church, we are going to be okay. He said, I am building my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What is Jesus saying? We are going to be okay. We're going to end up all right. And no matter how the enemy tries to alter that, it's not going to be altered. No matter how many times you fall away and you step away, if God has called your name saved, if God has called you in the kingdom, you can't kill it. You can't hide from it because he sees you everywhere you go. He knows your every move. He knows your every thought. And God's not offended at you or in you right now because he knows his plan and he knows his purpose for your life. Listen, that day, Balaam found out, and Balaam told Balaam, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man. Come on. He is not a man that he should lie. Come on, God is not lying. He can't lie. God is not lying. He can't lie. We have the shout of the king in the midst of us. We have God protecting us. We have God keeping us. We have God showing us the way. We have God helping us walk in the way. So listen. At the beginning of the service, God said this to you. Come and sit down. I want to sup with you. I want to talk with you. Jesus doesn't need to be on the outside knocking, let me in. He needs to be on the inside. And because he sees us anyway, have you read Psalm 139? Psalm 139 says there's nothing in your life that is hidden from God. Your uprising, your down sittings, you can go to the end of the morning, at the end of the day, God will see. He says that the darkest hour is like noonday to him. So God knows all about every one of us. We can't hide anything from him. As a matter of fact, he sees all and he wants to correct those things that are wrong so that life will be better for us. So he's protected us and he's kept us and he is protecting us and he is keeping us. Even though there is an assignment against every one of us, Satan is not just sitting by the wayside watching you skip along happily to heaven. Are you kidding me? No, there's a plan to destroy you. But there is no scheme of the devil. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail. The plans and the schemes of the enemy will not overcome you. They will not cancel. They will not overrun the will of God for your life. They will not outdo the will of God for your life. They will not, because God has called you to salvation. God has called you to wholeness. God has called you to be complete. And so what did I see in Numbers 22, 23, 24? It was so much. And I named all three chapters because I want you to read them. And I want you to go and look at those chapters because there are a number of things that I can't squeeze into these few minutes. But as I did read them, the one thing that stood out to me the most is that God is keeping us even when we're not paying attention. God is keeping us based on who he is and not who we are. God is a covenant-keeping God, and he has sworn by himself to bless and to multiply us even when the enemy is trying to cancel our destiny, trying to cancel what God has for us. What God has for you, it's for you. And it can't be wiped out. It can't be altered because God's will is just that. And God's will for us is that we be whole, is that we be complete in Jesus Christ. Amen. Father God, I just thank you now in the name of Jesus for everyone who is listening today. I thank you, Father, that you know our hearts. But more than that, Lord God, you are greater than our hearts. I thank you, Father God, that your will for us is greater than any sin that we could ever commit. It's greater than any backsliding ways that we may have. It's more than any schemes of the devil that have been set for us or any traps of the devil that have been set for us. It's greater. Your plan for us is greater. It's more than. Your plan will carry us not only from this day, but will carry us into eternity, Father. Eternal life is what you have for us. Life everlasting is what you have for your people. Whatever habits came to cancel it, whatever fears that we've had to take us down, to make us want to quit, none of those things are working because your word, my God, your word and your will working in us and for us is greater and more than anything that would separate us from the life that you have for us in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm hesitating because it's like I see somebody and I want to say it's a man. I see you down. I see you just kind of you're lying flat. Let me just say what I see. Sometimes I try to explain things and I need to just go ahead and say what I see. It's like you're just lying fat flat and you're lying face down. You're not even looking up at God because you don't think you can look up at him. You just feel like, I just need to stay down here. I'm down and I'm out and I need to stay down. I need to stay out. But God is saying no. He's saying, no, I've spoken my word concerning you on more than one occasion. And it's not just somebody else speaking that word to you, but I've spoken to you. You know what I've said to you. You know, but because you kept falling, you've decided to stay down. Well, no, I have promised to get you up because I have promised and I've seen your end and I've even spoken to you your end. And you think it's too late. It's not too late. It's not, no, no. It's not, no, you've not done too much and it's not too late. Just, oh, yeah, that's it. That's it. Get up. It has been a long time coming. The faltering and the falling, it's been a long time coming. Each fall made you feel worse and worse. But God saw that you were going to snap out of it. And so now this is what I see. I see you now bolt upright. I see you bolt upright. Yes. And I see you looking up now. Yes. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, yes. Now I see you looking up because you know that your salvation is in the Lord. It is in Him. And God especially is talking to you today. It's a man. It's a man. I know it's a man. And God is saying to you today, I have watched over you and I have kept you even when you thought I wasn't seeing you, even when you thought that your ways were hidden from me, even as it says in Isaiah 40, when you thought your ways were hidden from me, they weren't hidden from me. I saw you and I've been saving you all the time. I've been bringing you to this place. I've been bringing you to this day, to this hour, all the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't know if this is somebody that's going to see this now or somebody's going to hear this message later, but I'm just going to say to you, if it fits you, I don't care when you hear this, know that God is seeing you getting up from that place where you thought it was too late, so much so that you wouldn't even look at Him. It's like you were face down rather than looking up, and God is saying, no, I want you to look at me and see that I see you. I see you. I don't see the spots. I don't see the blemishes. I see you. I see all of that removed. You see, God sanctifies us. He sanctifies us. It's a process. We're born again and then He sanctifies us. I'm lingering on this point because there's somebody who needs to hear this. God has not changed His mind about you. You changed your mind about Him, but He didn't change His mind about you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 You can trust Him. You can trust Him. Amen. Listen, God bless you. Talk to you next time.